If one wanted to pick a few of the great chapters of the Bible, certainly Luke chapter 15 would be among them. There is perhaps no other parable as well known except the parable of the Good Samaritan, as is this parable, which is traditionally known as the parable of the prodigal son. But too often, this parable that we consider this morning is considered by itself alone without reference to the other parables in this same chapter of Luke 15. The occasion for all three parables, that is, the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost son, all three are set in the context which is explained in chapter 15 in verses 1 and 2. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, that is Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, quote, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Now that is the context for the teaching of these three parables in Luke chapter 15. They, that is the Pharisees, those people who were legalizing hypocrites, these religious people who were heaping laws upon God's people, telling them they ought to obey certain rules in order for them to be holy and godly, these men inadvertently admitted a great sounding truth. It is indeed glorious in itself, and it causes us to reflect upon the fact that God is in control of even the wicked of this world. The book of Proverbs says that he is able to use the wicked for his own purposes, and here he causes these legalizing hypocrites to admit a tremendous gospel truth. And that gospel truth is this: this man receives sinners. Isn't that a grand thought? This man welcomes sinners. I would invite you sometime one afternoon, this Sunday afternoon, to take out your Bible and simply turn to this phrase and to meditate upon it and nothing else for 15 minutes. This man receives sinners. There's really only one theme, however, to this chapter and these parables. These parables show us the heart-melting concern of our Heavenly Father and the burden of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus answers the criticism of these legalizing hypocrites, these Pharisees. He answers their criticism by then telling the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. This demonstrates God's great burden and love and concern for the lost of this world. They're parables of God's grace. We may call them the parables of the Father's heart. What an appropriate theme for a Father's Day as we gain insight into the Father's heart. We consider these parables in a twofold way. Firstly, in their comparative features, and then in their commanding focus. Consider with me first these parables in their comparative features. Firstly, each parable gives a different insight into God Himself. Each parable gives a different insight into God Himself. You see, the parable of the lost sheep is about a shepherd. A shepherd who, with some effort, goes out and he discovers his sheep wandered, who had wandered away from the fold. There is a poem about that search of the shepherd. It's by Elizabeth Clefin, and she captures something of the pathos of the story. The poem goes this way. Lord, thou hast here thy 99. Are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, ere he found his sheep that was lost. Lord, whence are those blood drops all the way that mark out the mountain's track? They were shed for one who had gone astray ere the shepherd could bring him back. Here we have something revealed about God himself in the parable of the lost sheep, and that is the suffering grace of God. The suffering grace of God. And then Jesus told the parable of the lost coin. And here was a woman who had lost a coin, and it was easy to lose something, a coin that small, in a home in those days. The homes only had one small window. The floor was of beaten earth, and straw or grass was placed on the floor so that if a coin were to drop, then it would be some trouble in finding it. But here is this woman seeking, searching for the lost coin. What does this tell us about God's nature but that God is a seeking and a searching God? The parable of the lost sheep tells us that God is a suffering God who finds his sheep. The parable of the lost coin tells us that God is a seeking God who searches for his sheep. You see, that is the difference between Christianity and mere religion. The observation has been made that religion is man's search for God, but Christianity is not that. Christianity is God's search for man. You will not find another religion on the face of the earth like that, where it is God who searches for lost sinners. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. But finally, in the parable of the lost son, a prodigal son, there we have the singing grace of the Father. That tells us something about God himself, that he is a suffering God, that he is a seeking God, that he is a singing God. That is, he rejoices when sheep are returned to him. But each parable also not only provides a different insight into God himself, each parable also provides a different insight into the nature of God's work of salvation. The early church fathers saw in this 15th chapter of Luke the work of the Trinity. They said that in the first parable, that is the parable of the lost sheep, there we have the work of the Son. And in the second parable, there we have the work of the Holy Spirit. And in the third parable, there we have the work of the Father. So that all three are seen in their totality of God's work. The work of God, the Son, in suffering and offering up himself for sinners. And there is the work of the Holy Spirit in searching out the human heart, and looking for sinners, and convicting of sin, and bringing this one to himself, and that one to himself. And the work of the Father, the compassionate love of the waiting Father, ready to receive the repentant sinner. But each parable also complements the other. You see, one could not truly understand the third parable without the first two parables. Nor can one really understand the first two parables without the third parable. Arminianism, that is, those who think just the opposite from Presbyterianism, have cited the parable of the prodigal son approvingly, and they say to us, you see here we have God who is sitting back, and he is waiting for the sinner first to come to him, so that it is the sinner who must make the decision and come to God first. But then we Calvinists point out to those who take an opposite position, we say, but you have to read the first parable and the second parable in the context of the third as well. For here you have the shepherd who goes out with some effort seeking his sheep, and here you have the woman who is turning the house upside down seeking her coin. So that it is God who first moves us. You see, the same Bible which says, whosoever will may come, also says, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the earth. What a great mystery this is as we stand before the open Word of God and we admit the truthfulness of these affirmations. You see, the fact of the matter is that the one who finally comes to Christ, that person who finally welcomes Jesus Christ into his life, who repents of his sin, and who embraces the gospel, that one who finally comes, at some point later must admit with the hymnist, I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew he moved my heart to seek him, seeking me. A great mystery, that which was confessed as we sat at the lunch table at General Assembly on Monday, as one pastor reflected when I asked him about his Christian experience, he said, finally in the army, the Lord found me. So it is God who finds us and then moves us to seek him. But each parable also focuses on something that was lost. But in each case, there was a different reason for that which was lost being lost. And that is a unique feature of each parable. You see, in the parable of the lost sheep, that sheep was lost simply because it was a heedless, unwatchful sheep. The sheep was grazing, and it saw in front of it the grass was greener, and so it moved a little bit further, and it moved a little bit further, until finally it was so totally removed from the whole herd that it was lost. It simply followed its appetite. Now, what I want to observe is this, that there are people, and I wonder if I am speaking to some here this morning who are just like that sheep. You never really intended to go astray. You never really intended to be lost, but you simply were heedless. You never counted the cost as to where you were going, and so you accepted this habit or this sin or this idea until finally you were removed further and further until you were lost. You remember how it used to be in fellowship with your father. You used to be in God's house. You used to be there when the doors were open. You used to fellowship with your heavenly Father, and you loved to have it so, and you thought to yourself, I will never leave this experience. But now, look at your life. You are as a heedless sheep, wandering from your heavenly Father, from the shepherd. That was the problem with the sheep. He was lost simply because he moved from this point to that point. You and I no longer read our Bibles or no longer pray and no longer take heed until finally one day we find ourselves lost. But the coin was lost not because it was unheedful, not because it simply wandered away. The coin was lost, we might say, because it was a victim of its circumstances. That is, the coin was a victim of the law of gravity. When it fell off the table or out of the woman's hand, it simply fell to the ground. It was a victim of the fact that it was round, then it rolled, and it was a victim of the fact that it was flat because it lay hidden in the straw. What I'm saying is that there are those people who will say to themselves and say to those around them that they are being victimized by their circumstances. And the reason they are what they are and who they are, the reason that they are mean, the reason that they are unspiritual, the reason that they do not respond to God, is because they have been victimized by other people or their circumstances. Our society teaches us to think that way. Our society, our sociologists and psychologists teach us to think that the disadvantaged are the disadvantaged because of their environment. That the reason you are mean or you develop bad habits or you are cruel is because you had a mother and your mother was too motherly to you. Or else you are what you are because your husband is not what he ought to be. Or your children are driving you mad and so you are what you are. In other words, what we see here in the reason for this lostness of the lost coin is that it was victimized by its circumstances, the fact that it was what it was, and there are people who say the same thing. I am what I am because of my environment, and I am what I am because of other people around me. But friends, the Bible does not tell you that. I am told that in sailing, I do not sail, but I am told this, that in sailing, the same breeze can be used by an individual who puts his hand upon the tiller to guide the ship. The same breeze can be used to drive the ship in different directions. You see, it is not your environment and it is not what happens to you that makes you what you are, but it is that which comes from inside you that makes you what you are. And if you are mean, and if you are hateful, and if you are anxious, and if you are fearful, and if you are angry, it is not your wife's fault. It is not your children's fault. The book of Proverbs says, out of the heart come the issues of life. And Jesus said, it is not that which goes into a man which defiles a man, but that which comes out of his heart. So what really matters is not your circumstances, but what you do with those circumstances. People cannot make you something that you are not willing to become. Nor can your circumstances make you into something that you are not willing to become. The son was lost because of sheer rebellion against God. And here we are at the heart and the center of all sinfulness. That is, sinfulness has as its center rebellion and self-will. This son was lost simply because he wanted to be lost. Father, he was the second son. Give me 1/3 of the state which I own when you die, unfeelingly, he says. Give it to me now, I want it. And he goes off and he squanders it. He is lost simply because he willed not to be with his heavenly Father. Now, there aren't too many who will simply come out and say, I will not to be with God, except Madeline O'Hare. But many people will, as the sheep, is lost simply because it is heedless. And it goes from this appetite into that appetite into that appetite. Or the coin, because it says, I am being victimized by my circumstances. I am lost. But as long as you say that you are lost, or as long as you blame other people and your circumstances for what you are, you will never change. But when you begin to realize that the fault lies in your own heart, then are you ready to do what the son did? When he finally came to himself, you see, when one comes to himself, he really comes to God and vice versa. And that is the commanding focus of all three parables. There are lessons here, and I want to cover them just briefly. The lesson regarding the prodigal son is that sin is a hard taskmaster. I mean, once you allow something to enter in and a lifestyle to take hold that you did not realize would take hold, it becomes your master. I know of a woman right now who was warned a year ago about a path of sin and rebellion against God. Though she tried to justify herself, though she said, it is not wrong for me to be doing this, today she is contemplating suicide. Proverbs says, the way of the transgressor is hard. The prodigal son had to find that out, and sooner or later, maybe not the first day, maybe not the second day, but God's justice will be dealt out. The third day, you better duck, because God's justice will be meted out. But the son comes to himself, and do you notice when he comes to himself, he says, I will say to my father, I have sinned against you and against God. You see, that is true repentance. There are many good people in the world who are good simply because of the mores of society or what other people say. But notice that true repentance is to realize that it is against God that one has sinned. And the prodigal son says, oh, I have grieved God. And so he comes to his father. And the other lesson in this story is the lesson of the waiting father. I have a book. You can't see the picture on this book right now. It's in our bookstore. It's called Amazing Love. But it has the picture on the front of a waiting father, and he's leaning over a windowsill or out a over a wall, and his hand is to his brow, and he's looking anxiously down the road, waiting for any sign that his son is going to come back home. Now, that's how we are to imagine our Heavenly Father, waiting for any sign of us, returning to Him. And when He catches a glimpse, He doesn't wait till his son comes and grovels in the dirt for a while. But he runs down the road to meet him and he throws his arms around him and he smothers him with kisses. And the son tries to repent. He says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. But the father doesn't even allow him to finish his repentance. He says, bring the robe and the ring and sandals and put it on his feet. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. We are to imagine God waiting, as it were, for any sign of the return of any prodigal. I remind you that Jesus is talking to religious people. For there are many religious people who have simply wandered away, as these Pharisees did. And God now says to them, oh, look at your heavenly Father waiting for your return, and he will fall upon you and he will smother you with kisses at your return. Will you return to him this morning? Whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, if you're a non-Christian, will you come to him for the first time and say, God, I know I've sinned against you. And I do come and know that it is against you that I've sinned. Those of you who are Christians, are you ready? Are you tired of being in a far country? You look good. Life looks like it agrees with you, but you know in your heart that you are in a far country, away from God. But there is a final lesson here, and I must tell you it, and it is this. The lesson of the elder brother. And it is, the elder brother was disgruntled because his prodigal son brother got everything. And I believe the whole point of the parable comes to focus in the elder brother. And it is this, that we who are Christians are to be as our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our relationship with others in the fold or outside of it. That we are to go and to seek them out. We, that elder brother, should have been at the pigsty, beseeching his brother, come home and be with us into our Father's house. And so the burden of seeking. We're not commanded to save the whole world, Christian, but you and I are commanded to save, to seek out just those who are around us. Can you imagine the difference in our congregation if every man, woman, and child would set as a prayer goal for his life, I will seek just one lost brother this coming year? Why, our congregation would be so crowded, we wouldn't know where to seat the people. Will you make that a prayer goal in your life? Will you be an elder brother to someone you know today? Let's pray.